We continue in this series leading up to Vacation Bible School of walking in Jesus' steps, and today we are following in Jesus' kindness. And the passage that Joyce read earlier from Mark 6 we'll be looking at, and also a passage from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, which should be familiar. And as we prepare to read this, let's again join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we are grateful for your word, that we are not left floundering without guidance and wisdom and direction. So help us to understand, and through your Spirit, transform our hearts and our minds that we might desire to follow in Jesus' steps. We pray in his precious name. Amen. We began with following in Jesus' faithfulness because that's the foundation we need, is we are responding to God's grace through faith, and every other characteristic that is here arises out of that. So it's not something we can just do on our own, but it is a matter of faith and God's grace working within us. Today we look at kindness and trying to wrestle a little bit with what is kindness and how do we do this. So kindness, we can come up with a lot of different definitions of it, but it really is a particular type of love, and perhaps it's that love put into action. So we see in a couple of stories, one, the true account of what Jesus and his disciples and the crowds were doing, and the other, a story that Jesus tells to explain something. What we're going to see here are a combination of both words that are spoken, it's a particular type of kindness, and actions that are done, again, another type of kindness. We look at words in Proverbs 25, in verse 11 it says, a word fitly spoken. So it could be a word of wisdom, it could be a word of just encouragement. It's a word that is spiritual. It has to do with trying to help someone. But a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And so a word that is fitly spoken. This last week is Vacation Bible School stuff. They continue to work hard on it. What you need to know is that their coordinators, Darlene and Michelle and David, are working really hard behind the scenes. And, of course, David's working hard during the week, during the daytime, up at Microsoft and battling the freeways both ways, and so on the road quite a bit. But spending the time down here preparing, Darlene and Michelle are spending a lot of time. I just want you to know that. And they're doing an incredible job. They mentioned the traffic issue and held up, Darlene held the vest to say, we have a need for people to help direct traffic for the safety of the children. Also, they got this year for the first time these plastic, it looks like a little man or child, about this big, and they have a flag on it, and it's just to remind you to slow down. And so you had to assemble these two parts, and the first one snapped together really easy. The second one didn't. And so I said, well, I'll take care of it. And the way I approach projects is I look at the project and what it's made out of, and this was plastic. So I said, I just have to be smarter than plastic. So usually that's not a problem. So I was able to get it done, and I got back a great encouragement that said, you are smarter than a plastic man. So that is a great encouragement, because when you work through things and then someone responds back. And so a word of encouragement, that's kindness. We want to be kind to one another in our words and our actions. So let's take a look right now at Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. When we read Scripture, sometimes it's important for us to put ourselves there. And we can be, perhaps, kind of the people who are listening in, observing what's going on. We might even want to put ourselves in the position of this lawyer who comes up to Jesus. And as you look at this, or you just might want to say, well, I prefer just to look at it from 2,000 years later and look at all of what's going on. But let's put ourselves in this story somehow. Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus, to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? So Jesus is putting that back on to him. And the lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by to the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And then Jesus asked the question, Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. As we look at these two scripture passages and ask, What is kindness? We find out that kindness originates from a compassionate love. So let's go back and let's look at this story of Jesus when he's going to feed the 5,000. It begins, as Joyce said, that Jesus has sent his disciples out, and they now come back, and they're tired, and they're hungry. And Jesus says, Let's go find a place. They get in a boat. They're going to go across the lake. Let's go, and you can essentially just be by yourselves, get some needed refreshment, food and sleep. So they get in the boat. But many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. It's kind of like those old Western movies where they're chasing after the bad guys, and they get to a point and they go, you go that way, we're going to go this way and head them off at the pass. And, you know, it works. These guys headed off Jesus and the disciples. They get there before them. Now, here's where we see compassionate love. It's the grace of God that is at work. Jesus very simply could have said to them, Okay, folks, you're here. We'll be back in a few hours. My men here need some rest, and we're going to spend some time together, but just, you can stay here and we'll be back. But he doesn't do that. His kindness is displayed because of the grace that is there with Jesus. And so it says, when he went ashore and saw the great crowd, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So the kindness that is going to be displayed to them, and we'll look at that, arises out of the compassion in his heart and the grace that then is going to be displayed. We come down to the story in Luke and this lawyer that wants to challenge Jesus. He is a lawyer. He is skilled in God's law and so scriptures. He understands God's law. And he's trying to prove Jesus wrong, trip him up. I'm going to ask him a question that is going to make him look foolish, because if he chooses one commandment over another, then I can say, well, you don't believe all of God's word. That's what he was hoping for. But he didn't know he was up against Jesus, the Son of God. And so Jesus just turns things around sometimes and puts it back on to this man who is skilled in the word of God and says, how do you read the law? And so he shares, and he condenses it down to the right things, to love God totally with our whole being, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so quoting from Deuteronomy, he gets it right. But it says, desiring to justify himself, he then asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? See, what he wanted here is for Jesus to kind of narrow that field a little bit. He was trying to justify himself because Jesus said, do that and you'll live. So he wanted his neighbor to be the people he's already doing that to. In other words, family and friends and kinsmen. There is a sense, our sinful nature, that we are prone to rationalizing, making ourselves out to be the good person and doing the right thing. We justify a lot of stuff. And this man is trying to self-justify his actions, making himself acceptable. I've now done these two things. Love God, love neighbor. Done it. Jesus always goes deeper. Deeper than is comfortable for us, but always deeper in a way that draws us closer to God, which means closer to the one who created us and the one who satisfies us. So it is his grace, his compassion, that doesn't allow us to rationalize our thoughts or our behaviors. So the grace of God is at work. What we see in the midst of this compassionate love is that in both situations, both in Mark and in Luke, is that Jesus is not selective in who we're to be kind to. It's to all. So we begin first with that great crowd of people that followed, that got to the across the lake before Jesus and his disciples. And it says that there were 5,000 men. And what scholars would say, well, there were also women and children there. So how many people were there? Are we talking about 10,000, 15,000? But this huge crowd that is there. Now, even if there were just 50 people or 5 people, however number we're going to get down to, there has to be a certain percentage in a crowd of people that are not pleasing to God. They're not following after God. And Jesus doesn't select who can stay, who can go. Then we come down to our story in Luke, where Jesus is telling this parable, this illustration of who our neighbor is. And we see this. Everybody's listening. A man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he's speaking to Jews, and they would have understood this is probably a fellow Jew because they're going from Jerusalem, the holy city, and to Jericho. And there were robbers there. It wasn't a safe journey, so they could identify with that. And Jesus begins to bring in the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders that are here. And so we could just as easily say that a pastor and then an elder are the ones that are coming along. But they're the ones who see this man who is robbed and beaten and is laying on the road, and they just kind of step over to the other side of the road and walk on by. For whatever reason, I think it comes back to the self-justifying. I'm too busy. That person is unclean. I'm a religious person. If I touch that person, I have to purify myself. I can't get into the temple. Whatever it might be, they fail to do an act of kindness. And here's where the story takes a turn. And where those that are listening, you probably, this is just my guess, you probably could have heard a collective gasp when he said a Samaritan was walking down the road. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. And the animosity went back generations and generations. And it was taught parent to child. I mean, it continued. And the Jews felt that the Samaritans were beneath them. So when Jesus says, now a Samaritan comes by, and he sees him, he had compassion. It's like a slap in the face to everybody that's there. And then he begins to minister to his needs. So what is taking place here is not Jesus saying we're not selective. And there's a lot of ways we can be selective. There are the obvious ways: color of skin, nationality, religious affiliation, size of body. I mean, we can go on down the line of different ways that people will be selective. Who's in, who's out? And when it comes to kindness, speaking and doing kindness, these two accounts tell us it's to everyone. We're not selective. Now, we might, in doing kindness, with the different needs and things that are out there for people, we might differ on how we do it. But one of the things that we should agree upon is that all, every person on the planet should get kindness from us. So that's what I believe Jesus is saying, and by the situation here, all are to receive this. And it comes out of, again, coming back to this, where does it arise from? It comes from a compassionate love inside. God's grace that we've received, and now it's flowing out from us to others. But it begins first with grace and compassionate love. It's interesting to see then how kindness is displayed. In the passage in Mark, with the feeding of the 5,000, the first act of kindness, the priority that Jesus has in his ministry, is to proclaim the kingdom of God. He's all about salvation. He heals a few people. He feeds a few people here and there. But it's not what he does on a daily basis. He does those things to show forth who he is. But he's preaching about the kingdom of God. And so the priority is seen here as he sees them, he has compassion on them. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And the next words are, and he began to teach them many things. It's an act of kindness to share God's word with others. The wisdom that's here, the life that is here, salvation, the hope that we have in Jesus. It is a kindness It is a kindness to share a word of encouragement with fellow believers. That's part of the kingdom of God, what we do for one another. And so these words that Jesus speaks, it's his priority. It's his act of kindness to the crowds, to all who have gathered. Because while there are some people there who are following after God, there's other people who are maybe thirsty, they're seekers, they really want to know more. And there's others, maybe they just kind of follow the crowds. They just want to see what's happening. And there's this great opportunity for Jesus to talk about the kingdom of God. When we look at the story that Jesus tells with the Samaritan, we can see that the words that are important, that we're dealing with spiritual needs, it's displayed here, although in a little bit of a hidden form. See, when Jesus was telling that story, he easily just could have said that a fellow Jew was walking down the road, saw this man beaten up, and walked to the other side of the road. But he chose the two religious leaders that they could understand, and they would usually hold them in esteem. And he wanted us to understand that what the Samaritan was doing was also something that was meeting a spiritual need. There is kind of an unspoken message there that the spiritual aspect of someone's life is vitally important. There is also the act itself that is being done there that is demonstrating spiritual needs are being met. But it's so easy to miss that because we are just focused on the action and the fact that there is a contrast between this, the priest and the Levite, and we maybe don't see that what the Samaritan is doing is the religious, spiritual act that these other two should have been doing. And while he was binding him up, he's speaking to him words of kindness as well as doing kindness. So kindness is something that meets spiritual needs with both our words, which is important, and our actions. And kindness also works then in a very holistic way. It's important for us to view others not just as a spiritual thing that we need to preach the word of God, see them saved, and that's it. Or to say there are justice issues that need to be met and we don't address the spiritual needs. The Bible is very clear that we address all of a person, and so a very holistic thing. And this is seen as things go beyond what is expected. So the people, the crowds that came to find Jesus and his disciples, they expected to be taught. That's what they wanted. They wanted to hear Jesus. But there was something more that Jesus was going to do to show his kindness. Because when it grew late, his disciples come and say, "This is a desolate place. The hour is now late. Send them away to go to the surrounding town so they can get food." So they think they're being kind by saying, "They're hungry. It's late. Send them on their way." Jesus again goes deeper, always deeper. And he says, "You give them something to eat." Now, this is to his disciples. He's challenging them. Now, they had just gotten back from going out and preaching and seeing God's power at work. And he's saying to them, "Now I want you to figure out how God's power can do this." And just for them, just how are we to do that? See, they're thinking just on the human plane. Shall we go out and spend 200 day's wages to get some bread and feed them? And so Jesus says, okay, what have you got? And he takes these resources and multiplies them so that there is enough for all who are there. So Jesus looks at the people who are there. They are like sheep without a shepherd. His compassion is to first fill that need spiritually and then to say, God cares about you completely, and to meet that physical need as well. We want that holistic approach that is there. Sometimes people are seeking something more, sometimes not, and it's our responsibility to give more. There's a story told about a woman named Mamie Adams who would go to a particular post office branch because the people working there were very kind. And during the Christmas rush, she was there to buy stamps, and she was in line. It was a long line, and someone turned to her and said, well, what are you doing here? And she goes, I'm going to buy stamps. And they thought they were being very kind to her and said, well, you know, there's a machine here in the lobby that you can just get stamps from that. You don't have to wait in line. And her response was, yes, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis. You know, it's the kindness, the words, the actions that are there that become important to people. And we don't know if the person in the post office was just being kind, or if that person was a Christian and viewed that as part of a ministry. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, is to view kindness as part of our ministry. And that kindness is satisfying people with God's mercy, again, with words and with actions. So when the 5,000 were fed, it says they all ate and were satisfied. Now, we can look at this and say that they were just merely satisfied physically. That's probably the more natural reading. They had enough to eat. They were satisfied. They didn't have to skimp on it, thinking about there wouldn't be enough for other people. But I think part of their satisfaction also was spiritual. Seeing a miracle happen, hearing about the kingdom of God, and therefore Jesus' words had authority, they were satisfied, their bodies, their souls. And so we're to have this holistic approach. When that lawyer who challenged Jesus was then questioned by Jesus, and Jesus said, which of these three guys proved to be a neighbor? The lawyer responded correctly, the one who showed mercy. How was mercy shown? Well, the guy stopped. He was there to rescue, treated his wounds, put him on his donkey, transported him to an inn, paid for some of his lodging and care, and then said, I'll be back. If it costs any more, then feel free to let me know, and I'll pay for that. He cared about the whole person. There was mercy that was there and a holistic approach. Sometimes we hear the phrase, go out and do random acts of kindness. And so I looked, and where did that come from? And you know, and how do they define that? Probably people will define it differently, but if you were to put in the internet search random acts of kindness, it might pop up with this. And it gives the definition. It's a non-premeditated, inconsistent action designed to offer kindness toward the outside world. Okay? And the phrase, and the full phrase, is practice random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And it was written by Ann Herbert in 1982. And it was put on a placemat. And it was kind of in response to a phrase that was out there of random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. So she wanted to counter that. And it's beautiful to do that. And so this random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty that people are asked to do. Again, Jesus. He always calls us to go deeper, deeper and deeper. And I think that through the feeding of the 5,000, through this encounter with the lawyer, what Jesus is saying about this kindness is that we're to do heartfelt and purposeful kindness to other people with our words, spiritually, and our actions, meeting their needs holistically. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are kind to us. And we know that we do not deserve your loving kindness. So we pray that your loving kindness, your grace, would work in us so that our desire, a natural desire, not forced, but arising out of the love that you give to us, would be to display kindness to others. And it would be done with a deep purpose of displaying who you are and your beauty. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.